Hey everybody, DTC producer John Mosier here with a quality disclaimer. We had a mic malfunction with Hurley that we'll have fixed for next week, but Izzy's was fine, so if you can tolerate the temporary setback, we had a first on the podcast that we do hope you enjoy. Now on with the show.
Jay Pizzy, Mosier on the beat. Look at my team, ay. Look at the ring, whoa. See what I mean, ay. You see what I mean? Look at my team, look at the ring, everything. This is a dream, all but a dream. This ain't a dream, I am a fiend for the cream, go. DTC and I beat these teams and it make me feel alright.
Alright.
DTC and I beat these teams and it make me feel alright.
Alright.
See, I calculate, yeah, y'all just palpitate. Whoa, if you don't calculate, get it? Get it? Calculate. Lady Justice is illustrious. I just love this. I can put this in this function and it turns up into something. And that something came from nothing. And I sold it for a button. Now I got this lovely lump sum. Guess I'll burn these bumps like buzzing, bro.
Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast, a show dedicated to Dynasty fantasy football trades and player values, with your hosts, John Paul Hurley and Izzy Elkafoss.
This ain't a dream, I am a fiend.
What's up, traders? It's the DTC Podcast. Welcome in. We've got some cool stuff to cover. This is kind of like a blast from the past episode. We used to have like an MD, was he like a physical therapist or something? Dr. Sean Fitzsimmons?
Fitzsimmons, yep.
Dr. Sean Fitzsimmons, we'd have him record like a weekly segment about the current injuries and like his outlook on what these players would be experiencing over the next few weeks. So we could kind of understand like the timeline for them, their return and what to expect when they come back, if it's lingering, that kind of thing. It was kind of fun to have that, but neither Izzy nor I are doctors, but we've got a lot of injury stuff to talk about and we can just utilize what we're seeing. Which is kind of what we realize. We can just see what other doctors are reporting on these things. There's lots of injuries from this week. This is probably one of the more significant injury weeks we've seen, so we're going to break it down for you. We're also going to quickly cover the most selected players in the Dynasty Trade Calculator. So lots of cool stuff to talk about this week, some good content. By the way, I'm your host, John Paul Hurley, on Twitter, at FF Hercules. Joining me, Izzy Elkafoss, the Pharaoh of Fantasy. We're going to break down injuries first, and let's just start with receivers. We're kind of in that pocket right now. The first one is just a day-to-day injury, but I felt like it was notable to talk about because he had a breakout performance. Kadarius Toney, we joked before the podcast started that he injured his fist on throwing a punch during the game, which he was held accountable for, I think. Ejected, to say, yep, to be specific. So he breaks out, has a big game, has a minor injury, should be fine. But maybe rather than talk about his injury, maybe talk about his breakout performance and what this means for his dynasty value.
Yeah. What's interesting about him is that he was a first-round pick that was drafted sometimes in the third round of Superflex rookie drafts. And then by all accounts, he was a colossal headache and a huge disaster in training camp. You couldn't find one piece of good news about Kadarius Toney preseason. And then he has 3 weeks of just about nothing. And then week 4 or 5, just an absolute breakout. Even week 4 coming out of nowhere getting 9 targets was impressive. And then obviously this last week he had 13 targets.
10 receptions, 189 yards. Oh my God. Blew up.
Yeah, just a massive performance.
Well, and honestly, the big thing that, like, he looked good too, right? Like, he was really shifty, and after the catch was kind of like a little bit of a genie.
From an eye test perspective, he's incredible. Like, it's hard to, I mean, he's got the best dead leg I've seen in a long time. I can't think of a better dead leg. Can you?
No, that was pretty.
No, just he does it a lot. Like, just the way who else is shifty like that? Who else has a good dead leg?
Barry Sanders.
No, like current player.
Oh.
Who's got the best? Like just somebody that can stick their foot in the ground. What's that?
Who is the best?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't think of a really good example right now, to be honest.
I can't think of anybody that's in that class right now, unless I'm probably missing somebody obvious, but regardless. looks.
You want to know a really dumb example of one that comes to mind?
Sure.
He has a deceivingly good dead leg. Is Teddy Bridgewater. He always uses it.
No.
It's his only move.
We can't use Teddy. I mean, are you sure? Is this a joke or are you being serious?
Whenever I see him scramble, it's the only move. So whatever the button is on the Xbox controller in Madden for the dead leg, that's the only button that he has on his controller. He doesn't have anything else.
Interesting.
Saquon Barkley is mentioned on Google for having filthy dead legs, and I guess that makes sense because most of the time his leg is dead.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. I thought that's where you're going with Teddy Bridgewater because of the leg injury, but
DeAndre Swift is mentioned.
I'm talking like in this class of player. Jerry Jeudy comes to mind, but he's not even close to this type. Regardless, very impressive. The thing that's interesting about Kadarius is when it comes to valuing a player like this, his value is inflated so much in such little time that it seems like there's going to be where he is right now is either way too high or way too low. Like, I'm confident that we won't look back a year from now and be like, yeah, where he is now is where he ends up. So to give you an example, he's worth a late first right now in draft picks. Right around the 109, 110 range, right?
Yep.
I have a hard time seeing him being in this range, even by the end of the year. He's either going to be way higher than this or way lower than this.
Okay, can I rewind a little bit? I've got an official answer for this. Is as close to dead leg as I can get.
Okay.
This is the Madden NFL 21 highest juke ratings per player.
Okay.
I realize that juke can be a dead leg and it can be also just like a quick misdirection and cutback.
Yep.
But Christian McCaffrey is rated as a 96 juke. Saquon, 94. Okay. Dalvin Cook, 93. Juke Johnson, 93. See what I did there?
Nice.
Aaron Jones, 92. Kareem Hunt, 92. So those are like the top.
Kareem Hunt?
Yeah.
Man, so goofy.
Madden is a bit goofy, perhaps. But that's the highest juke ratings by a player in Madden 21. So,
yeah. Yeah, nothing compares to Kadarius right now.
No. Nothing compares.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. Now, the question is, with Kadarius, is how does this play out over the next few weeks? He's got the Rams, Panthers, Chiefs next week, the next 3 weeks. Saquon likely out the next 2 weeks, so maybe they utilize him as an extension of the run game. You have every single receiver and their grandmother hurt right now in New York. So, A, is this Kadarius Toney's receiving, like, is he going to lead the receiving room moving forward now, or is he just a temporary Band-Aid? It's hard to look at what he does and think that they're going to do away with him, but I can't imagine that he wasn't doing this in practice.
Practice?
Not a game, but a practice. So if they kept him off the field, even though he was doing this in practice, do you think he's now earned the right to maintain this level of usage? Or do you think he gets displaced when everybody comes back healthy, if they even come back healthy?
I'd honestly feel pretty decent about it because of the first thing that we said. The first note we had was that he passed the eye test. Like on film, when he caught the ball, he looked really good. So I think as a Kadarius Toney owner, I feel pretty good about him continuing his success because not only was he getting peppered with targets because, you know, there's not many other options, even though Evan Engram was finally healthy. He just looked good with the ball. And I don't think the Giants looked past that, you know? So I think they're going to maybe bring him into the game plan a little bit more intensively, you know?
My point is, how did he not look like this in practice, though?
It just took him some time.
Maybe it was more of a playbook issue, an attitude issue, whatever, as opposed to a pure talent.
Maybe in practice he was not taking a lot of first team reps.
Yeah, potentially. So now, what are you doing with Tony? Do you have any recent trades of Tony?
Oh, that's a good question. Let's do it. It's going to be tricky because many dynasty leagues can't do trades until the week is complete. I'm not sure if there's going to be a lot because we're recording this on Monday and the week hasn't wrapped up yet, but I'll take a look at the trade wire here. DynastyTradeCalculator.com trade wire. Oh, I'm sharing my screen too, so you can watch me do this.
Yeah, I am watching you do this.
Let's do 12-team PPR Superflex. October 7th, just like I suspected, is the most recent trade. So unfortunately, we're going to have to wait until tomorrow to really see what people are getting for Tony.
Okay.
When the trades actually become executed.
Damn. Okay.
But like he is like, this might help is that there's another tab on the player cards in the calculator when you click on a player that shows the value comps, like what players are comparable to. That's not working. But Rashad Bateman was a good example that we talked pre-podcast about too. So they're dead even at.
Yeah. Who'd you rather have?
Is Rashad Bateman finally coming back?
Not tonight.
So I would say Kadarius Toney for now.
Just because he's not coming back tonight?
Yeah, because I think that Kadarius Toney's value is kind of like on the upswing right now. And you can probably project that you could sell him right now for more than the 15.3. Whereas Rashad Bateman's kind of stayed the same. So his value has kind of settled in. Kadarius Toney's is erratic and people are excited about that performance. So I think you could get more than what he's currently worth, if that makes sense to you. So I would pick Tony because I think I could get more for him in a trade than I could with Bateman currently.
You think more than, okay, so you think that you could probably get a mid-first for him?
Yeah, in fact, you could, let's do this again. I love doing this. You could put out a poll since you're the Dynasty Polls person on Twitter.
I'm the poll dancer, yeah.
Thanks. I'd be willing to bet. So I truly think that Tony's and Bateman's value is actually very similar right now, but I think that Tony would win in a poll because of recency bias. And we can prove out this hypothesis during the podcast and cover
people,
it later
people
on.
Do have that recency bias. That is true.
Yeah. So I think that it's his recent performance was enough to go above and beyond. And not only is it about Tony, but like I said, Rashad Bateman's value has really settled in. He's kind of been in this pocket for such a long time because he's been on IR. And with him not playing tonight, I think that kind of reinforces it. So that's where I'm at.
Should I stop the count? There's two votes in.
No, but if, what are the votes?
50-50.
Oh, yeah, stop it. There you go.
So they're even.
That's pretty good. Let's leave it at that, and then we'll recap the vote later in the podcast as we cover other players. Deal?
Okay, deal.
Another wide receiver that was a lot more banged up than Kadarius Toney was Juju Smith-Schuster.
Dad jokes are too much.
Out for the entire season. I personally have one league with Juju. Not only has he been so frustrating this year because of how inconsistent he is for usage and for production, specifically fantasy related, but now he's got some of these injury things. He's on a short contract, so there's question marks surrounding his future. I'm just like, I'm so frustrated with him right now. But we do have, like, this might be a good entry point to our trade that we're talking about, right?
Yeah, it might be. Let's talk a little bit about Juju first, then maybe jump into a trade that I've offered you. So Juju had 128 targets last year, 97 receptions, almost 100 receptions, 831 yards, and 9 touchdowns. I think if he was playing with anybody not named Big Ben, I think we'd have a different perception on Juju Smith-Schuster's trend. What really hurt him was the 2019 season where he played 12 games, only had 550 yards. But if you look at Deontay Johnson last year, the same thing. They had very low yards per reception, but they were just peppered with these short targets. And he was trending to that again this year with the same yards per reception. So he went from, in 2017, when Antonio Brown was in in Pittsburgh, he had 15.8. Then in 2018, he had 12.8. And then that was 1,407. 111 receptions, 1,407. Unbelievable. As a 22-year-old second-year receiver. And then 2019, he followed that up with a complete dud, but he had 13.1 yards per reception. And then the last 2 years, small sample size this year, but 8.6 yards per reception. But his 2020 actually isn't as bad as it looks, because people look at the yards and they get frustrated. But let's say this was, instead of 830, let's say this was 97 receptions for 1,000 yards and 9 touchdowns. We would look at 2020 a lot differently for Juju. Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree.
So it's 170 yards kind of changes the perception of Juju quite a bit. Now, the question becomes, where does he go next year? Because you and I both agree he's not staying in Pittsburgh. So the conversation shouldn't be, where's Juju's value now? It's, where's Juju's value going to be 7 months from now? Not even 7 months. We don't have to wait that long. Free agency is in March. So how many months is that? 5 months. We're 5 months away. Isn't that weird? We're 5 months away from free agency.
That is weird.
So we got 5 months before you figure out where his value is going. Now, I think with what spots, realistic spots, could Juju go where his value would decrease from where it is right now?
So the first one that I threw out, because they always put their names in the hat for veteran wide receivers every single year as an organization, is the New York Jets. And I truly believe that that'd be a hefty downgrade from a volume perspective, depending on Zach Wilson's.
Yeah, but they got Corey Davis they signed, and they have Elijah Moore. I don't know if they, but maybe. Okay.
Well, that's why, that's a part of the reason why it would be a bad. Do you want to have likely situations or ones that would be a downgrade?
Let's discuss. Yeah, I'm going to throw out a couple teams that are wide receiver needy, and let's discuss if his value goes up or down.
Okay.
New England.
Maybe down based on Mac's current trajectory, but I could see that changing.
I think Patriots is, his value would go way up.
Yeah, that's true, because they really have nothing else, right? They have tight ends. Yeah.
They have tight ends and Jacoby Myers. Dolphins.
Down.
Dolphins down. You said Jets down. The Browns, they could get out of OBJ and Jarvis at the end of the season, or one of them. Let's say they get rid of one of them and Juju goes to the Cleveland.
That would be interesting. That seems to be like a kind of a fun scenario, actually. I think that could happen.
I think if they kept OBJ, which I don't think they would if they had the choice of the two, it doesn't make sense to bring in Juju and have Landry, because they kind of eat in the same ways.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
What about the Colts?
Wentz is so depressing. It's not good. Yeah, okay. It's down.
Texans?
Depending on Deshaun Watson, probably not going to have him. But, I mean, if Davis Mills can throw for 303 every week.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be down based on what we currently know.
Okay. Chiefs?
Up, obviously. Okay. And that's regardless of who they have on their roster.
Yep. I mean, they were interested. I mentioned them because they were interested last in the offseason. They offered him more money than Pittsburgh did, and he still went with Pittsburgh.
You already missed the number one most wide receiver needy team in the entire NFL.
Well, I'm going NFC. That was AFC. Now I'm going NFC.
Okay. Continue. Down.
I haven't even finished.
I know who you're going to say.
Really? Interesting. Okay. Well, the team I was going to say was the Giants.
Okay, that's. I thought you were going to say the Lions.
Oh, not yet. I haven't got there yet.
All right. The Giants, interesting. I mean, Daniel Jones has really bounced back this season. So I would say he wouldn't go up or down. I would say he would maintain.
Yeah, and I'm not 100% sure if depending on what the Giants do with their receiving core, if they even have a spot for him, they might be
pretty overloaded. Yeah, Kadarius and Galladay,
Yeah, and they have Galladay and what they do with Shepard and Slayton. But Green Bay?
They really need that. So I would say, I would say down because we're assuming that Aaron Rodgers is playing his last season in Green Bay.
That's up to you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would say the odds are against him returning currently.
Okay. So down. Packers down.
Yeah. But Lions, contingent on Aaron Rodgers. Yeah.
Lions, you said down.
Oh, yeah. That might be worse than the Jets.
I disagree, but we'll continue.
Well, maybe based on the fact that they don't have any other wide receivers, but I'd be deathly concerned about who's the quarterback, you know?
Right. Saints?
Depending on Michael Thomas, yeah.
Well, even if they had, I'm guessing he'll still be on the roster, so they have Michael Thomas.
Is he locked up still? Let's see. I'm going to check his contract on Spotrac.com. It looks like he has an out after the 2021 season, so this could be why.
What is the
out? Yeah, this was. What's that?
What is the Michael Thomas out?
Potential out in 2022, so after the 2021 season.
Okay.
He has 22.7 million of dead cap, but it would. Let's see, dead cap.
How's that an out?
Cap hit 24 million. Oh my God! This year his cap hit is 10 million with a dead cap of 32.
Jesus.
So in 2022, the cap hit is higher than the dead cap, so they'd actually have savings by moving away from him.
Yeah, but it's still a big, big hit.
It's already the money's already gone. But yeah, it's a big hit.
Yeah, true. Falcons.
That would be out of the ones that we've mentioned. That'd be my favorite place.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
And that's it. I mean, the Cardinals have enough, the Rams have enough, Seahawks, and I don't know Lockett's situation off the top of my head. Seahawks, I could see actually being a fit there because they do need a third wide receiver.
I'm on Spotrac, so let's take a look at Tyler Lockett's contract situation, you know?
Yeah.
No, he's Locketed up through the 2023 season, it looks like. Opportunities for outs.
So
he's under contract through 2025, but potential out in 2023, after 2023.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I thought, you know, the exercise is interesting. Pretty split.
Can I derail the conversation really quick?
Yeah.
Since we talked about Tyler Lockett.
Sure.
You asked me pre-podcast, and these are some compelling questions, so maybe you can ask them really quick to say them out loud on the show, but you asked me who we thought were the most undervalued dynasty assets currently. And we talked about a few like Derrick Henry. Who are some of the other ones that we mentioned?
Kareem Hunt was mine.
Kareem Hunt was a good one.
Renfro was.
Liked Renfro as like a really low end one. I said there was one other that I said too, I think.
You said Derrick Henry and Dobbins.
Yeah, J.K. Dobbins being valued in the teens on the calculator because he's now we're almost halfway through the fantasy regular season, so you can start to restore some of that. But Tyler Lockett is really disrespected.
I don't think so.
Why?
Because
he's valued below Kadarius Toney.
As he should. He's 29 years old. So he's going to be going into his age 30 season next season. So you're buying a...
He just turned 29, yep.
Okay, so he'll be a 30-year-old receiver in 2022. I think where his value is in that late first pocket. I think he's perfectly fine valued there. I think, if anything, he's got room to go down than to continue to climb up.
Yeah, why is he not in the same conversation as like DeAndre Hopkins? How are Tyler Lockett and DeAndre Hopkins different?
So do you view Tyler Lockett as like a big play guy?
Yes, of course.
Okay. He's not.
What are you talking about? Have you watched him this year?
Yeah, well, through five games, sure. But if you look at his big seasons, his 2019 and 2020, when he actually, so it took him 110 targets. He had 82 receptions. for 1,057 in 2019. And in 2020, he had 100. So last season, 132 targets, 1,054 yards, 10.5 per reception.
How many games?
16 in both seasons.
Okay.
So he barely cleared 1,000 yards both seasons, 2019 and 2020, on 82 and 100 receptions. And in my mind, when I think of Lockett, it seems like he just hits these like random splash plays, and then everything else is just unimpressive.
Yeah.
So for me, it's I don't think he's undervalued. I think if you're talking about 30-year-old receivers or those aging receivers, I always think the most undervalued one is Adam Thielen.
So, but I want you to answer my question. What is the difference between Tyler Lockett and DeAndre Hopkins?
DeAndre Hopkins actually has like 1,400 yard potential.
You don't believe Tyler Lockett does?
No. I mean, the most he's ever had in his career is 1,057.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I they're similarly aged. They have, you know, the same type of like off and on production. I mean, now at least they do.
It's consistency. Hopkins is far more consistent.
Hopkins, 5.1 points in week 3.
Hopkins?
Hopkins did, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, we're talking about over the course of time. Of course, he's going to have random games where he doesn't produce. But over the course of time, you're going to get far more consistency and ceiling with a guy like DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, I guess so. But you know, I'm not saying that they're equals. I'm just saying that there is a massive difference in value between the two of them. And they're not as far apart as you may think.
I think there is. If you look at their careers side by side and where their trajectory is on a year-to-year basis, I think we're talking 40 to 50 fantasy points a year. I mean, we're talking 3+.
Yeah, career. I agree with that. I'm just saying from this point forward, I'm saying the two are pretty similar.
I mean, yeah.
No. Because DeAndre in Arizona isn't like DeAndre in Houston. 115, yeah, I guess 115 receptions, 1,400 yards, 6 touchdowns last season. Maybe I've talked myself out of it. And maybe like the law of averages will come back around on him, but I've just been relatively unimpressed with... They're airing the ball out and they're just not using him like they used to, you know?
It's funny, Ed is like, he had a good game this last game and it was Kyler Murray's like worst game of the season.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and Lockett just has more touchdowns, I guess. He had 10 double digits last year, 100 catches, 10, 54, and 10. Yeah. 265 fantasy points.
Yeah.
And I mean, what did...
You said 115, 1,406.
265. Yeah, I mean, they're within like 20, 25, 26 fantasy points of each other, too, on the season last year. I don't know. I don't think they're as far apart in what they can produce versus what their value is personally. But yeah, I get the disagreement's fine.
I think you're better off pointing to a guy like Cooper Kupp than a guy like Hopkins.
Yeah, but what's he? I think Kupp has jumped way up.
Right.
Like Kupp's value isn't very disrespective, relatively speaking.
Well, no, I'm where saying Kupp versus Tyler Lockett should be a conversation. You'd be like, they should be.
Oh, right. Okay, I see.
Much closer.
Yeah. Fair enough.
But
yep, Kupp is
anyways, we've kind of went on a tangent here.
Yeah, okay. We can
back
we can
to, somehow back to Juju. Oh, because we're talking about Seattle as a landing spot.
And so, that was the last one.
So with Juju himself, like, sounds like we're kind of split on a couple of the landing spots, but it's pretty dead even in terms of good versus bad scenarios. Now, I think every single scenario would somehow be a positive for him because he's currently on IR. So from this point on, his value will continue to climb because we're at the very beginning of his injury. So he is at the furthest point of returning as he'll be. So his value will slowly climb from here.
So if he were a cryptocurrency, you'd be buying.
I don't know if cryptocurrency is a great analogy, but if he was a cryptocurrency that went through a massive slide, I would potentially be buying.
It's the Juju coin.
The Juju coin. That's a great name for a Bitcoin or for a cryptocurrency.
We need to produce that. Oh man, I'm in.
Yeah, we need to figure that out. So, I offered you a trade. So let's talk about that. and see if we can come to a conclusion on
that. Well, do you want to break down? Because so
yes,
just to let people know, both players that are involved in the trade are ones that we're talking about in the injury segment. One was Juju Smith's shoulder, and the other one's Saquon Ankley.
Okay.
That doesn't work as well. Saquon Barkley.
No, you and your damn dad jokes, dude. They're not even dad. They're bad jokes. Like, you know, dad jokes. Like
that was a dad joke right there.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you like that. So to put into context, you have a team that has a player that I'd like to acquire. So I have Saquon Barkley, and I also have Juju.
You're a heavy contender.
And I'm currently in first place. And I'd like to continue to, you know, I'd like to get the bye. And I'd like to upgrade Saquon from, I don't want to say upgrade. I'd rather just get the healthy Najee right now and just lock in the fantasy points for the next few weeks until Barkley comes back. Like, I just don't want to wait for Barkley to come back. And who knows? Like, I'm not willing to wait for Barkley to be 100. And I don't know if this ankle injury lingers, whatever the case may be. I'm kind of focused on, let me try to get my best team moving forward this year. And essentially the deal is Saquon Barkley and Juju, because you're currently towards the bottom. You've dealt with a lot of injuries. You lost ETN early.
But like, I guess I do have 6 victory points. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're, and after this week, you're going to be 6 points back of a playoff spot from victory points perspective. Still plenty of time.
4, 5, 6. Yeah, I was two victory points out. And by the way, one victory point for winning and one for being top half in the week for scoring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your
These
roster
guys are gonna win, yeah.
Your core roster is made up of, so your running backs are currently Najee Harris, David Montgomery, Javonte Williams. Did I say ETN? ETN, Michael Carter, and Trey Sermon. That's your
also all the rookies. All the rookies, all the rookies and David Montgomery, yep.
Correct. And then your receivers consist of Terry McLaurin, Calvin Ridley, Cortland Sutton, Visca, Mooney, and Gallup. And then your tight ends consist of Kyle Pitts and Pat Freiermuth. So once again, a bunch of rookies. Both rookies there.
And if you couldn't tell by Izzy's listing of my roster, it definitely was in the middle of a rebuild. I was planning on competing next year, but my team started to string together some early wins. So never know.
Yeah. So I offered you Barkley and Juju for Najee Harris. And the idea was, I'm willing to basically say, okay, Barkley and Najee are, when healthy, they're close. You can make the debate that one over the other. We put a poll when they're both healthy after last week, and they were dead even. So when healthy, they're dead even. And my exchange to the olive branch that I'm extending to my fellow trade partner is a free Juju, because I look at your roster and I'm thinking, okay, Hurley's eye is on the 2022 season. I don't think that you're looking at competing in 2021 with ATN hurt, with David Montgomery hurt, and with really just Najee Harris, Ridley hurt. So just Najee and Javonte Williams are your top two running backs right now. So how many wins could you really gather with those being your guys? You just lost Daniel Jones to a concussion. Derek Carr, I believe, got banged up as well. So your quarterback room is hurt. I don't know how long. I think Calvin Ridley should be back this next week. I'm surprised that he was out. I don't even know the details there. So I looked at it and said, okay, Hurley's looking at 2022. I will give him, he's looking at this as, this trade is for 2022. I'm looking at this trade as a 2021 trade. I know that you're a contract guy. So you're looking at Juju's contract and saying he's going to be out of Pittsburgh into a fresh environment, and maybe he can kind of rebound.
And 50-50 on moving into a positive, yeah.
Correct. Positive from where Pittsburgh is. I don't think his value goes down from where it is now, because I think we both agree his value is probably as low as it's going to get because of the injury. But what will end up happening is the value will go up, up until free agency. He might get back to, you know, the late first range. And then what will end up happening is wherever he goes, he'll either go up a few spots from there or down a few spots.
You know, it makes sense. So, like, especially after the result of this week, I think those dynasty leagues, like week five, week six, is kind of like that turning point, like where you're going to start really packing it in or loading it up. You know, it's a very big moving week. I would say like between weeks five and like eight or nine is a very big moving week for dynasty leagues, right? Like where you can have it, you have a pretty good feel for what your team's going to do, and you make trades as a result of what your trajectory is. And I agree. I think being in like the lower quarter and like I wasn't anticipating competing this year, it might be a good time to kind of flip that switch and just prepare for the 2022 season. And like Saquon, I think, was week to week with his lower ankle injury, right? So it's not like it's a complete loss for the season.
Yeah. Let me just to make sure we're all on, because obviously with news like this, it changes so rapidly. But let me look at Saquon. The last I saw was that it was a low ankle sprain. And I guess it doesn't matter whether it's 1 week. If you're making the trade for next year, it doesn't matter if it's 1 week or 4 weeks. But out of curiosity, let's see for me.
6 hours. I'm trying to find the most recent.
It just says Giants.
Giants avoid worst case scenario. Saquon Barkley still facing absence.
Giants had sigh of relief after seeing Barkley x-rays. I'm not seeing, I'm looking online, not on Twitter. Twitter, you know what's interesting? When I look for player news, do you go on Google or do you go on Twitter?
Always Google, which is funny. But I get notifications from Twitter.
I go on Twitter. So the last thing that from a what the injury is believed to have suffered a low ankle sprain. The injury likely knocks him out next week. And then seems like it's up in the air if he comes back the following week. I'm assuming this is my, when I see an ankle injury, I'm looking at it and saying he's for sure missing the next game. I'd be surprised if he played the following week, and he's likely going to be limited the third week.
I cannot believe we would see him back in a few weeks after seeing that. I'm shocked. Like his ankle was parallel with the ground.
But you've had injury. I mean, you've played basketball. You've landed on somebody's foot in your ankle.
It was probably I just didn't have instant replay.
So yeah. So it says Saquon Barkley Bleacher Report on Twitter says could miss 2 to 4 weeks.
That's wild to me. But yeah, that's.
But I will agree with you. Best case. Seeing the image of his ankle after, you'd be like, "There's no way that's not broken."
Broken or ligament, tendon. Yeah. Oh my God.
It's absolutely wild. So we're looking at 2 to 4 weeks. He's characterized as a fast healer. Will work to only miss 1 week. This is based on Ian Rappaport. But
no, I don't want him to do that. Yeah.
I wouldn't want him to do that either. Here's the thing with Saquon. It's like a completely freak accident. Like I feel bad. I really like Barkley. Like I think he's easy to root for. He seems like a really good dude. And then you see the ankle injury. And it's like, really, that's the kind of injury that you face?
Yeah.
Pretty crummy.
I agree. Well, so let me tell you my thinking. So that was the setup, and you offered the trade. Here's my thinking. If there's a chance for me to even be competitive this year at all, it's not centered around one player, even though Najee Harris is having a wildly productive first half of the season already. He's been unbelievable. I don't think if I can sneak in the playoffs, it's got to be like a full team effort. I need to get more healthy. So I think it makes sense for my team like to both make a small push this year just to see what's possible with my roster, but while kind of stacking the chips for next season, you know? So I think the trade kind of makes sense for me because I think I can still maybe put my hat in the ring with some better luck on health if Saquon comes back especially. And I think, with Juju next year, I think it kind of makes sense. So I would, the only reason I'm hesitant is because you and I made a trade involving a recently injured player, and it took a dire turn for the worst for me. It was ETN for Devonta Smith, you know, it was after ETN's injury was believed to be kind of minor, not, you know, people weren't overly concerned about it. You and I made that trade because, you know, ETN is my guy. And hours later, we found out that it was season ending, and I was devastated. So, like, I'm hesitant because I could feel that happening again with Saquon.
Yeah, less dire in a sense that before the injury to ETN, obviously it was preseason, so you weren't willing to throw. I mean, you weren't ready to throw the, not throw the towel in, but the trajectory of your season hadn't already been decided. Or
yeah, but like
been decided.
I always want to have like guys that improve their value, you know, and I want to see what ETN looks like. So like, there's a lot of reasons I want him to be healthy, but.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The way I look at this trade is I'm paying the injury tax at this point with Juju. Now, and I told you two things.
And Saquon.
And Saquon, yeah. So what I told you was if you're looking at 2022, if you look at your roster and you're deciding, all right, Hurley, I'm going 2022, you're talking in third person here, I'm going 2022, then this deal makes sense because you get Barkley for next year. And then if he will come back. Juju comes back. He's got that fringe, depending on where he goes, he's late first value if he goes to a good situation or a high second if he goes to a bad situation with room for growth either way and potentially room for a decrease. I mean, with Juju, if you look at his career, he's been up and down, but he's still young, and you can ultimately decide whether you want to move him or keep him.
Yeah.
And then I guess I kind of wrapped it all into one because I view this as completely a what will you do with Juju when he returns? Are you holding him or are you trading? Well, yes. What will you do with Juju? Are you holding him or are you moving him?
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of where you're getting that free equity. And the funny thing about injured players is when you throw in the towel on a season, I actually don't mind getting injured players. Me personally, I don't mind going after injured players because their value doesn't necessarily go down from where it is. It's kind of like you've locked in the current floor and from now it's going to slowly go up.
Yeah.
So it's like a weird way to look at it by trying to acquire injured players. But we know that their value will go up from here. So let's say Juju doesn't get hurt. And let's say he continues on the trajectory in that Pittsburgh offense where he's doing absolutely nothing.
His injury was good for his value.
His injury was good for, exactly. His injury is good for his value. Isn't that like a weird, it's a weird way to look at it, but it's entirely possible.
You want to know what's funny is another DTC, a different league, DTC member and I were chatting about the same thing and he said those exact words too and I agreed with it.
Oh, who said that?
Riley.
Oh, he said the injury's probably good for him.
No, literally, and I agreed with it. He says, I don't think Juju's value's gone down much. He had already tanked quite a bit this season. Hell, it might have helped his value. And I said, haha, I was just thinking. So we kind of agreed that Juju's injury may have been good for his value rather than continuing on this trajectory of piss poor performances and kind of having his value degradate week after week after week in this offense. So now it's kind of like his value takes a hit because of the injury, but now it's locked in, you know, Tyler locked in.
You and your damn jokes.
So I think that's an interesting angle, but, so anyway, this trade, one last variable that we need to mention before I make a decision. This is a disrespect league. So the listeners out there that haven't heard our spiel on disrespect draft, every year in these leagues, you don't get to have your own future. You have to choose another team. So it's kind of a way to prevent tanking. It's an anti-tanking rule. So every year after the rookie draft, we have a disrespect draft where you get to pick a different team's first round pick for the future. Based on standings. Yep. The only rule is you're not allowed to take your own first round draft pick, future first rounder. So I do not have my own 2022 pick. So I don't have incentive to tank this season. So like there's no real incentive built into it. So there is that variable and Juju kind of like, you know, fits into that variable. Najee being, you know, so like I don't have mine.
Yeah. And the comment I made to you was it's almost irrelevant because the decision shouldn't be on 2021. The decision should be basically what you're saying is I don't own my own pick, so I don't want. It's more of like a pride thing. I don't want
the person need that to take my pick. It's not a want, it's need. Yeah,
it's a pride issue because you don't want the person that has your pick to succeed in having your pick. But from a 2022 perspective, having your pick or not hasn't really doesn't change the terms of the deal, if that makes sense. So
this is fun. I do have the clear cut 101 in this league. I have his pick. So like I will probably be drafting 101 in 2022 just to make sure that we're being
nice. Okay. So you
holistic have, with our, okay. our point of views here.
And I agree with you. Based on who I'm assuming you have, the person is 120 points clear of the second to lowest point score team.
It's almost 200 points exactly now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I will be getting another running back next year, probably. Unless some way, somehow a quarterback busts out, but I don't see that happening. So, I mean, that's a variable that I need to take into account, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, true.
So anyway, with all that being said, we are doing a virtual handshake. We're doing our first ever.
Is our producer there?
He's listening. Mosher, we just executed a trade on the podcast for the first time in history. It took us 220 plus episodes, and Mosher has wanted to do this from day one. Let's have a trade negotiation and a trade executed on a podcast. It was literally his first idea for episode one of the podcast. It has finally come to fruition.
It only took us 220.
It only took us 220 of about 5 years, right? Was it 2016 that we started? I can't remember. 4 or 5 years.
End of 2015, I want to say. November of 2015.
6 years. Our first show. Oh, yeah. Mosher splashing the six pack.
Yeah. Which is amazing. I will say, I'm surprised it's taken us this long because we usually make, you know, a trade or two a season because we're in multiple leagues together.
Yeah.
But we have a mutual respect for one another to where we never really offer bad trades to each other.
Yeah, that's true. They're always legitimate. Yeah.
It's always like a legitimate trade. We're like, okay, it's close, or it's like you may think I value a player differently than what we actually do. So it might come off as like, oh, this is way off based on the fact that I just don't like this player. It's probably fair in value. I just don't like the player type of thing.
I agree. So two things. Number one, and the listeners, you can relate to this. My absolute favorite thing about making trades in home leagues where you're buddies with everybody is the aftermath of a big trade like this, where it's like, some people are going to think that I got ripped off. Some people are going to think that you got ripped off. It's like, it's always fun to see reactions. We used to have some really big ones in this league, but not so many lately. Point number two, let's just take a look to see what this looks like in the trade calculator, right? I'm guessing that I lost on value maybe a little bit. What do you think?
No, I don't think so. I think with, and you got to do the unbalanced trade reduction.
Yep. Well, that's true. What's the throw in that you had?
Oh, Russell Gage.
So without modifying anything, it was basically 62-53 in favor of the Saquon and Juju side.
If we take Gage out,
yep. By the way, this might be a good time to talk about it too. This is awesome. There is a new button, and we haven't really announced this publicly yet, but there's a new button on the calculator, a new feature. It's an unbalanced trade reduction. The naming convention is still in the works. It's still a FYP. What do you say when something's in the works? TBD. I don't know. Work in progress. It's still in WIP status. Like, we got to figure out the naming convention for this. I don't like that. But anyway, this button automatically reconfigures values for each player based on if it's a 2-for-1 or 3-for-1. If somebody's spamming one side of the trade, it kind of balances it out. So that way, it's not like you're getting 5 second round picks plus Juju Smith-Schuster for Christian McCaffrey, and it looks even on the calculator. Based on how many players or picks are entered into one side, this kind of balances things out. It's like a ratio, a cool little feature that we've added. And after doing the unbalanced trade reduction WIP button, it brings us to 52.5 to 51.6, slightly in favor of the Saquon side. So that's very cool. It's basically even.
Yes. And I think I wish, you know, we talked about this. I think that it shouldn't be an option. We should have it
so you can toggle it off versus toggle it on.
Yeah. And what's interesting about this trade is that I wonder how much context changes people's perception of the trade, if at all. Like in terms of it being a next year versus this year.
Oh, type
of
trade. So vacuum, yeah.
Yeah, because, yeah, it's interesting. Because now what's happening is when people see, like, we put this, especially on Twitter. So you put a poll like this up, and I think the Najee Harris side is gonna walk.
Because of, once again, recency bias.
Yeah, so basically they look at Juju's worthless to them because he can't do anything for you this year, and they're not looking at it from a long-term perspective or a next-year perspective. And Saquon being hurt, so you're taking two injured players for a healthy player that's producing. So I'm guessing that this is going to be, if I were to guess on Twitter, I'm going to say 75-25.
In favor of Najee.
And through one vote, we have a Saquon Barkley Juju
vote. That was my vote. I wanted to see if there was any results yet.
Okay.
I retweeted it from. So to give the listener some context, I just put this poll up because why not get some live results, right? Yeah. And since we're on the subject matter, let's go and revisit the poll that you put up earlier. And we could probably close off the podcast with a couple polls and a completed trade here, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So what do you have as a result for your poll that you put up? I think it was Kadarius Toney versus Rashad Bateman.
It was. And through 134 votes, we have Bateman at 69% and Toney at 31%.
Wow.
So you were wrong. I mean, I'm surprised by that. I thought Twitter sometimes surprises me. I'm gonna over time, I will say Twitter has gotten savvier.
Yeah. Oh, did you see the one comment that you have too?
What is it?
This was a comment by at @WatchMoFootball. Love the handle. That's pretty sweet.
Is that Mo's?
It could be @WatchMoFootball. That would be a great kind of like kind of like a burner account for our producer John Mosher. It's spelled M-O though, that with no E, which is why I know it's not him. It's not M-O-W either. He says, absurd results. Toney belongs just behind Jamar Chase.
Wow, that is
so. There is, yeah, there are some like pretty firm believers that Tony's value has catapulted enough to get him not only in that status but above. So there you have it.
Yeah, I don't know about this Mo guy. This Mo is, our Mo is better than that Mo. That's for sure. That's a,
maybe he needs to watch Mo football.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I guess
it's aggressive.
Maybe if he's watching football, he has not seen Rashad Bateman yet. So maybe he has a point. His handle and his comment kind of go together in that aspect. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm also surprised that Saquon and Juju are leading. I thought it would be 75-25 in favor of Harris. It's actually 64-35 in favor of Najee. Looks like Twitter has not selected the unbalanced trade button.
Yeah. They're really surprising us today here.
So the results of Saquon Juju would be as if it was you're not selecting the unbalanced. So in the calculator, without including that button, this is probably on par with the poll result.
Wow. Or I mean, like we said, the Saquon Juju side had, it was very close, but the Saquon Juju side was better. So it could be that people, majority of people, like, well, oh wow, did you see it now?
Like that. Yeah, now it's 53-48.
It's basically 53-48 now, yeah.
So I had this conversation with you actually very briefly when we were talking about Saquon and Najee Harris from a comparing their values. And when you have players that are valued so high and there's so much insulation with these players, the week-to-week events don't necessarily change their value all too much. So to give you an idea, Najee Harris has a great game. Saquon Barkley gets hurt. Their values don't head in such drastic directions. There's a little bit of a shift, but not enough to make a massive swing one way or the other. Like you would see if this was like a player in the, you know, Josh Jacobs pocket, whereas he gets hurt for 3 or 4 weeks, what happens to his value type of thing. Yeah, anyways, it was, I think it's a pretty solid trade. I think from a contending perspective, it benefits me. From a rebuilding perspective, I think it benefits you. So I think it's a good trade. This is our third trade of the season, Hurley.
Oh my God. Live results after 83 votes. Najee Harris has taken the lead 54.2 to 45.8.
Wow. Okay.
This is exciting. By the way, can I just say my favorite thing about having like a handle and a website and stuff like that? Like, we've talked about this before in the past. My absolute favorite thing about having a handle and stuff like that is that you get votes on your polls so quickly, and it's very exciting to see like the votes pour in so fast. Like, when we first started this website and this handle, it would take us an entire week to get barely 100 votes if we were lucky.
Yeah, and there's also a lot fewer people playing Dynasty.
Yeah, that's true. Considerably less.
Dynasty's grown so much, and it's awesome to see. So it's cool to be able to put something out like this, like you said, and just get a whole bunch of votes. But
speaking of back in the day, though, one of the guys that has followed us since the beginning, Halloween Jack on Twitter @scary_monsters, he comments on this poll: if you're competing, take Harris. If you're rebuilding, take the package. Absolutely 100% right. Kind of what we're talking about. I completely agree. And this is that lacking context portion of this poll that, like, you're talking about. It's pretty safe to say. So I agree, Jack.
Yeah. Anything else stand out for you over the weekend? There were a lot of injuries. We didn't really get to that many of them.
I think those are good. Like the Russell Wilson, I thought warranted a quick mention at the very least, because he's going to miss significant time. I think the middle of the road amount of time he's going to miss is 5 weeks. Like, we briefly mentioned Tyler Lockett, how this affects like DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, like that offense. I think Tyler Lockett actually suffers the most from this because all the deep shots that they take with him, and DK, maybe not so much. DK is also like a deep threat, but he can do so much with after the catch. I don't know, man. It's just it is painful. I have DK in a couple leagues. I don't like it at all.
You don't like having DK?
I don't like having DK with Russell out. Yes. So basically a yes.
Geno seemed to be going DK's way.
Yeah.
When Russell went out. So, I wouldn't worry. He didn't look too bad. But any other significant injuries that
Clyde Edwards-Helaire a few weeks, George Kittle a few weeks.
And we just Dalvin made that
Cook
trade.
Was inactive. What?
We just made the trade.
Yeah, the trade was executed.
We made a trade right before the week, and then Clyde gets hurt. You know what sucks about that? I think you have Barkley and Clyde that you traded for in that league.
Yes, I do. The nerds calculators league. I have both of them. That was the one where I flipped to compete.
Yep, and then you get kicked in the nuts. So this is why my philosophy is very simple. I will only shift to rebuilding because I can protect my value that way. But shifting to try to win could backfire in horrible ways.
Oh my gosh. I scored 5 points with the combination of Saquon and Helaire, and I'm basically in it. Like, I still scored 160 points. I need Mark Andrews to score less than 6 tonight, which probably isn't going to happen.
Did we talk about our trade on the podcast?
I don't think we talked about that one. Well, maybe we did.
Maybe we brought it up, but essentially what our offer, a trade was. No, we did. We made it before last week because Corey Davis and Clyde helped you last week. So we definitely brought it up. But yeah, Clyde getting hurt kind of backfired on you. By the way, I mentioned this on Twitter. The Clyde injury is very reminiscent to the one that he had last season. And he's the only player ever seen fold like an accordion like that and actually get hurt both times. Like, his injuries both times look so bad.
Yeah,
he got crumpled up like a piece of paper.
That's a great analogy. Very colorful. Can't think of anything else that could be crumpled up besides paper, can you?
What could be crumpled up?
A ball sack? I don't know. That's probably bad to say.
That would not be good.
He was crumpled up like a ball sack. That's not making it into the podcast.
No, it might. It might. But what else? You can't crumple anything else.
Because I got one. How about A Sharpei's face or a bulldog. What has a very crumply dog's face?
A pug?
Yeah, there you go. Like, that's more recognizable. I think Sharpei has a more crumply face, but he was crumpled up like a pug's face.
Okay. All right. You got it. You got that one. That works.
We'll take it. That's better
so
than
now, paper. Now that you lost Saquon and Clyde for likely 2 to 3 weeks, what's your plan now? Are you going to, you're 3-1,
you know,
likely going to lose this week?
I have a chance to win. It's not a great chance. 10%.
We have 50-50 in this league, and looks like you're going to be in the top half. So you will get.
I'm 3-1. I was 3-1 going into this week, so I have a chance to win. I'm going to get a 50-50 win probably, and I've got a good supporting cast. I've got like CeeDee Lamb, DK Metcalf, Josh Allen. So I've got some pretty good. You know,
you didn't mention your best player, Patterson.
Cordarrelle Patterson. Yeah, that just luck boxed into that one. You know, but. The thing that benefits me in this league, I believe. Oh no, I thought you were allowed to start only one running back, but it is a mandatory min two running back. So I'd be stuck like either Zach Moss or Devin Singletary, whichever one of those I feel more comfortable with during the week.
Probably Moss. I'd probably go Moss. It looks like you're starting Moss and Collins because I don't know if Carson's playing next week either. So you might actually be able to weather the storm here.
Yeah, I have to survive a couple of weeks with both Clyde and. Luckily, and both of them Tony. Seem to be. I might be fine.
You got Tony.
I have Kadarius Tony. Look at that. Should I trade him for Rashad Bateman?
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
So yeah, so you got.
Oh, you know here. What I'm gonna do? Oh, I got it. I know what I'm gonna do.
What are you gonna do? Let's hear it.
Who are the commissioners for this league?
Rich and I.
Okay, good to know. I already knew that. I just wanted to butter it up a little bit. Cordarrelle Patterson needs to be a running back.
Yeah, and I have changed Cordarrelle in any league that the owning team requests the change to running back. I change to running back because he's listed as running back on the depth chart.
And by the way, this is going to be the final small half topic of our podcast. What is your, like, what exactly do you do when a request is like this is made in one of your leagues that you commission? So it's kind of like a commissioner's point here. So like, what is your process when a request like this is made?
Okay. So if Patterson was listed as a wide receiver, I would put it up for vote to the league. But since Patterson is listed as a running back on the depth chart, everywhere you look, he's not listed as a wide receiver anywhere besides on fantasy sites. I will accept the request. It's like, it's good enough evidence for me to move him to running back. You're like, hey, very simple. I want Patterson to be a running back because he's listed on the depth chart as a running back. And I say, yep, makes sense. It stands changing to running back.
So I think I'm fine then.
Yeah, that's an interesting caveat.
And by the way, I have Dalton Schultz in this league. My God, I'm stacked.
Do you think that Patterson should be like the one guy that has the running back wide receiver designation where he's flexed out? Similar to, do you think Pitts should have a wide receiver tight end designation?
I will be completely honest with you. I think that Patterson should be listed as a running back and not have the wide receiver flex designation because I think he takes some, the last time I checked was 75% of his snaps at in the backfield at running back.
Yep.
And that, like, if it was closer to 50-50, I would probably say that, you know, I would consider that. But given the fact that he has the overwhelming majority of his snaps out of the backfield, he should be designated as a running back only.
Yep.
And he's designated as a running back on the depth chart on the team's roster. So like all of those things, I would make the decision based off of. So,
okay.
But I like that. I like your process when deciding that. Yeah, league vote if it was kind of ambiguous, but you would make the change as the commissioner if it's clear cut.
Yep. So all I ask for you to do as commissioner is send a message to the group requesting that Cordarrelle Patterson be moved to running back to inform the league of this request, and I will change it for you.
And the nice thing about this is that I made the request maybe 2 weeks ago, so like I'll have a little bit of a additional platform.
Okay. Now did Rich and I? Oh, I don't even want to say Rich. I love Rich. Great guy. We hung out with him last week, but he wrote me into being co-commissioner with him because we wanted to have somebody on the nerd side and somebody on the DTC side. And it's literally everything's fallen in on my lap. or it, on my lap or in my lap?
In my lap. Plate, I would say on your plate. On your but, in your lap is like oh my gosh, thing. It fell right in my lap.
Fortunate thing, right?
Yeah. Like getting Cordarrelle Patterson on my roster.
Okay. So on your lap is something, or in your lap is something that's fortunate. On your plate is something that's not. Even though I'd rather have something, which is funny, I'd rather have something on my plate than in my lap.
On your plate is something to do. You're thinking literally, though. You'd rather have like a burger, you're saying.
Yeah, I'd rather have food.
Well, depending on what exactly is falling in your lap, though, it could be some really good options there.
Yeah, there are some interesting options. Yes, I will agree.
My wife.
My wife. Okay, so yes, I will take care of it for you.
There you go. I think that's good, right? That's injuries. Yeah. We talked about some of the breakout performances. We didn't get to a couple of them, but maybe we can talk about them next week. We had a trade that was executed, and we finished things off with like a commissioner topic. So I think that's a well-rounded podcast. We appreciate you guys for tuning in once again this week. Izzy, do you have some final thoughts?
No, I don't. No, it's good. Good seeing you again.
There you go. Yeah, it's great to see you. I don't see you enough. I feel like that's not true. Thank you for listening, you guys. Make sure you check out the website, dynastytradecalculator.com. Make sure you check out that new unbalanced trade reduction button. And we are currently working on some really sweet development items. So like those of you that are listening that have a subscription, make sure you click to renew your subscription, because you'll be grandfathered into current rates. If for some reason in the future we happen to bump up the rates for some significant production and new features, you will always get that lower rate. So that's kind of a cool thing for you to have, grandfathering. Even if you're not a grandfather, you will be grandfathered. Thank you for listening this week, you guys. Tune in next week. Talk to you later. Bye. Let's go.